Well, could you open your Bibles, please, at the book of Numbers and chapter 9. You read in verse 15 of the chapter, "On the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle." And that's what we spoke about last week. Not only covered it, but filled the whole building. Sign that the Lord had come. But then look at the end of verse 21. And of course, the word cloud occurs over and over again in the passage. But we read the last passage, that verse 21, that the cloud was taken up. They journeyed. So the cloud covered the tabernacle, but on occasions the cloud rose up from the tabernacle. And when it did so, the people journeyed. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, as we think upon this further lesson from the tabernacle, the cloud that covered and filled it that day when it was consecrated, O Lord, may we be comforted in Christ today. How we thank thee for the wonderful truth. We've already referred to it and seen it, that when we are redeemed by the blood, the Lord leads us all our life, even into heaven itself. But Lord, teach us from thy word, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. If you want the title for the message, it would be "The Comfort in the Cloud." The comfort in the cloud, which of course means comfort in our Lord Jesus Christ. This cloud, artist's depiction here, filled the tent, and the brightness of the midday sun couldn't obscure it from view. The people saw it as a cloud during the day. The blackness and darkness of midnight couldn't hide it, because at night it appeared like a flame of fire in the darkness, giving light. It was there at all times. No weatherman could explain it. No scientist can explain what it was. It was not a normal cloud. Don't think of it simply as a cloud we see in the sky. No, it was unique. Some of you no doubt have heard people speak about the Shekinah glory. Well, that term Shekinah literally means dwelling. And we noticed when we started the tabernacle that God commanded his people to build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. And last week we saw that the sign that God had come to dwell among them was that this glory came down and it filled the whole tabernacle. A sign that God, in his fullness of his blessing, was dwelling there. We know God dwells everywhere. He's omnipresent. But what it means in the sense that he's there to reveal himself, to reveal his glory, that he's among his people to bless them, and that sinners can approach onto him through, of course, the high priest, a mediator, a picture of Christ, and through the blood of sacrifice, to approach right into the very holiest where was the ark, and it's believed that bright light, a sign, a visible sign of he who is invisible, was given at times in the Old Testament. And that visible sign was given to the Israelites all through their wilderness journey until they reached the promised land. Now, it did appear later in history when Solomon built the temple and the sacrifices were offered. It says again that the glory of God came and filled the temple, and people saw a visible sign. It wasn't all the way through the Old Testament, but at certain periods of history, this visible sign of he who is invisible. I want to say three things about it. This cloud, or pillar of fire as it was by night, it speaks of the glory of God. The glory of God. We saw that last week. The glory of God filled the tabernacle. Now, it was a visible sign assuring them, the Israelites, that the glory of God, or put it this way, the glorious God was with them and dwelling with them and guiding them. We read in Exodus 13, this cloud appeared to the Israelites. It was given to his redeemed people. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're one of his redeemed people. You've been brought out of the Egypt of this world. And just as that cloud led the children of Israel and was with them, visible sign of the glory of God, so the Lord is with you. That's the point of this. I'll just quote some verses quickly here. Deuteronomy 1:33, it says of Jehovah, who went in the way before you in a fire by night and a cloud by day. Jehovah was in that cloud. It was not a normal cloud. Deuteronomy 31:15, we read, Moses reminded the people, and the Lord appeared to you in the pillar of fire. This is a representation visibly of the one who's invisible, reminding the people that Jehovah is with them. Numbers 14 and 14 is a lovely verse. The inhabitants of the land shall hear how the Lord went before them in a cloud by day and fire by night. Isn't that wonderful? They were told that even the unsaved nations, the enemies, they will hear about this, that the people of Israel, their God goes before them in the cloud. So this cloud represents the glory of God. It's not a normal cloud. It's God going before them. This Moses earlier in chapter 19 of Exodus, you remember the mountain, Mount Sinai, when the people come out of Egypt, they saw the cloud above the mountaintop. And at night it was like a smoking fire. And the mountain trembled and the people trembled. But it says that Moses, as a symbol of the mediator, went up into the cloud. People weren't even to touch the mountain. So I'm speaking, the cloud speaks of the glory of God. So, while the tabernacle stood, the people in their tents, they could look out those 40 years wandering, and they looked out, and above it during the day, they saw a cloud arising out of where the Ark of the Covenant was, and they saw this visible sign. God is with us. The God of glory that appeared to our forefather Abraham. He's dwelling among us. And at night, if they couldn't sleep, woke up and looked out the tent door. Look at that pillar of light, a pillar of fire. The Lord of glory is with us. Oh, how wonderful it is to recognize the God of glory is with us. Now, he is with every child of God, whether we realize it or not, or conscious. Sometimes we're more conscious of his presence than others. Oh, that in our gatherings together as the people of God, as we come to worship, that we'll realize the Lord is here. The Lord is in this place. The building isn't holy, it's just a building. But when the people of God gather, we are the tabernacle of God. And the goings of God should be recognized among us, that he would work among us. But we can go further than say it's the glory of God. You see, we'll see a little bit later, I'll not turn to it now, Exodus 14 and 19, and there are other verses. The angel of the Lord was in the cloud. Now, if you've studied the Old Testament, you'll know that that's not an ordinary angel. The word angel means messenger. That speaks of he who is the messenger of the Godhead, God the Son. So we can go, we can say, yes, it's the glory of God, but we can say that this cloud is Christ. You say, but Christ wasn't born for hundreds of years later. That's right. But he was existed before he was born, because he's God. He's very God of very God. As God, he had no beginning. He's the eternal I am. At Bethlehem, he took a human nature and a human body. But in the Old Testament, he often appeared. And we're saying that the Old Testament makes it clear, we could turn to many verses, that in this cloud, the angel of the Lord was in the cloud. Christ was leading them. You know what? That's a comfort to you and I, Christians. See, when you're saved, Christ comes to indwell you. And he's there as the glory of God. Remember what John said in the first chapter of John 1 and 14? The Word, that's the eternal I am, God the Son, became flesh. That's his birth at Bethlehem. And dwelt, literally tabernacled among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He's God. Christ as God. Oh, there are Unitarians today who say Christ was just a man. What blasphemy. We can have no fellowship with such. We don't recognize them as Christians. Because Jesus Christ is God. He's the glorious God. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the wonderful thing, he comes into our lives. Just to give you one other proof of that. Do you know the Jews every year, even to this very day, 3,500 years later, they keep what's known as the Feast of Tabernacles, late September or October, for 7 days, harvest services. But during that, they remember two great events in the wilderness wanderings. Children of Israel going through the wilderness. That's what we're thinking about, the tabernacle in the wilderness. Number one, water. Every day of the 7 days, the high priest would pour out water at the altar. And they would sing some of the psalms that talked about God giving their forefathers water in the wilderness. John 7:37 says, on the last day of the feast of tabernacles, Christ cried out with a loud voice. What? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What was he saying? I'm the true water of life. And in chapter 8, verse 12, another ceremony they had. Now, the Jews have no temple today, so they can't do this part. They still keep the Feast of Tabernacles. They would erect a large, large lamp over 100 feet high in the court of the temple. Now, don't confuse it with what we looked at in here, the lampstand. No, no. This was out in the open. I read in a Jewish history book, they used to send the young priests up on the long ladder over 100 feet high. The young priests went up, and they poured so many gallons of oil into the seven lamps, and it lit up Jerusalem. What were they remembering? They remembered how God, in the light and the cloud and the fire, led the children of Israel through the wilderness, and they would sing wonderful Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. How the Lord is my light. You know what Christ stood in the courtyard of the temple that held thousands of people. In John 8 and 12, you know what he cried out? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, you might just read that and not realize the significance. The Jewish leaders that day realized it. Because you know what it says down in the chapter in verse 58? Those religious Jewish leaders that took up stones to stone Christ to death. Why? Because he had said, I am the light. They knew that what Christ was signifying to those Jews was this. That light in the wilderness is only a picture of me. I am the true light. He was saying, I am Jehovah. And of course they thought that was blasphemy. It wasn't. Because Jesus Christ is the great I am. Do you know him as light? Do you know him as the light of life? If you follow him, you'll not walk in darkness. So I'm saying, when you think of this cloud abiding on the tabernacle, Christ, what Christ is to us, and when you're saved, think of it, the Lord of glory comes in to your life. Christian, you have the God of glory indwelling you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But secondly, you'll see in this passage not only the glory of God in Christ, but you'll see the guidance. In Exodus 13 and 20, the Lord went before in the pillar to lead them. Now look at Numbers 9, if you've your Bible open there. Look at verse 17. Numbers 9, 17, when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. See that? So when this cloud, picture it, the cloud arose, only an artist's impression here, it arose and left. What did they do? They took the tabernacle down, it was portable. And the priests and the Levites carried it, and all the people packed their tents. I know if you like going camping, I know some of you have. Well, you pack up all your belongings, and you set off, and you journey. And as you read down these verses, it's amazing. It could be taken up. Look at verse 21. Was when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, they journeyed. whether it was by day or by night. So sometimes during the night, the pillar of fire would move. You know what they had to do in the night? They had to pack all their belongings and move. See, the cloud guided them. This cloud guided them. It's amazing. And they had to be ready to go. Now, they didn't need to know when they were to move, where they were to go to, why they were to go at that time. They just had to follow the cloud. Follow. That's all they had to do. Maybe you say, well, I wouldn't enjoy that. Packing when you don't know. Usually wives like a few days notice that you're going somewhere. Can you imagine rushing in? The husband's maybe looking out the tent. Oh, quick, the pillar's moving. Come on, dear, pack up. Get all the children ready. Get all the belongings. We're going. We're moving. We have to go. And each tribe walked in order behind their particular standard. They didn't just go through as a mob. Judah went first and the different tribes after them. So they had to go. When the cloud moved, they moved. But there's a lovely verse in Psalm 107, and you know what it says in Psalm 107, verse 7? He led them forth, listen, by the right way. Do you know the journey through the wilderness? It was a different way than they expected. Often it seemed like a detour to them. And sometimes it was a difficult way. But it was the right way. That's what I want to underline. It's the right way. The cloud always guided them in the right way. Tell me, has God guided you in the way you expected in your life? Some of us are getting in the older side of life. You look back and you say, my God guided us in a different way than we ever expected. Young Christian, God will guide you in ways you'll never expect, to places you never expected to go. God guides in the right way. And when you follow, when they left Egypt, they went through the Red Sea, the cloudy, fiery pillar, that's the first time it appeared when they camped as they were leaving Egypt. And you know where it led them? My, they're just thrilled at being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, being brought out of Egypt. That's the thrill of just being a Christian, you're saved. Do you know where it led them? For 3 days without any water to drink. You ever gone without water for a day and you're warm? Say, I'm parched. 3 days without water. And then they look and they see waters and they're rushing forward to drink. And they start to drink it. Oh, it was bitter water, Mara. And they couldn't drink it. And some of them said, let's go back to Egypt. Now the cloud was there leading. The cloud led them there. See, away with this foolish notion that the Lord's leading you, everything will always be rosy in the garden, it'll be wonderful, there'll be no difficulties. You never read that in the Bible. And if something bad happens, oh, the Lord mustn't be leading me. The Lord led them to bitter experiences. Of course, they cast in the tree and the water was purified. Sometimes the Lord led them to where they were hungry and they had no meat to eat. But then the Lord supplied the manna. Hold your finger there and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm saying the Lord led them, and he led them in different ways than they expected. You say, well, why? Why did the Lord lead them this way? Why did the cloudy pillar go in that direction? Well, Deuteronomy 8 tells you. This is at the end of the wilderness wandering, and he's telling them. And he's saying in chapter 8, verse 2 of Deuteronomy, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years, the wilderness. Now look why. To humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. See that? So that you'll learn what? That ye might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And then go down, verse 5, that thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. In verse 7 it says the Lord's going to bring you into a good land. Now you think about that. What? The Lord was leading them, but he led them to difficult places. And he led them to places where they murmured. And he led them to places where he humbled them. You know what that tells me as a Christian? When the Lord leads, He leads you into situations where we're humbled. When we discover what's in our heart, He leads us into situations where our faith is tested. The faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And He leads us into situations where we react in a way that we thought we never would. Oh no, I'll always trust the Lord. I'll never doubt. Bang. And we murmur, Lord, I've doubted You. He led them to the place where they saw, as Paul came to realize, that in me dwelleth no good thing, that it's all of God's grace. See, we never reach the place where we're perfect. And the Lord, through leading them in these difficult places, was teaching them about the pride of their heart, to humble them. And He did it in love. Don't forget that. He did it in love. Yes, He chastens in love. Why? Because the Lord blesses the humble. He led them to break them down, to see their sinfulness and God's wonderful grace. And the Lord will do that in a Christian life. Don't be surprised, Christian, if the Lord leads you into situations that are difficult, that are dangerous, to get us to look to Him and to trust Him. But He will guide us all the way through. Now, when you go to Numbers 9, it's a wonderful passage. It's very simple, isn't it? Very, very simple. I was struck in Numbers chapter 9, our passage, for instance, in verse 18, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. You underline the passage when you go home. At the commandment of the Lord, at the commandment of the Lord, at the commandment of the Lord, at the commandment of the Lord. Underline them all. He was leading them. And suppose you give three quick points. Very deep. Number one, if the cloud moved, they moved. That's not a deep truth. When the cloud moved, they moved. And the second point, when you read these verses in Numbers 9, I'm not quoting the verses here, but read through them. When the cloud didn't move, they didn't move. Here's a third point for you. When the cloud tarried, they tarried. Simple, isn't it? When the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud didn't move, they didn't move. And when the cloud waited, they waited. And you read this passage, you'll find sometimes it was just a few days that remained. Sometimes it was up to a year. Sometimes it was a month or two. They didn't know when they went to bed at night what was going to happen the next day. But they simply obeyed and followed the cloud. Christian, what is it to walk with Christ? Trust and obey. We follow the Lord. We obey His commandments. There's a story of a missionary lady who was greatly used in God's work, very active, had been involved in many, many Christian works and labors, but then she took ill. And she began to get depressed because she couldn't get out of bed. She was so ill. Her friends visited her, and she had in the bedroom a text. It was based on a verse in 1 Chronicles 28 and 20. It says, "Be strong and work for the Lord." And that was her motto that she had up for years from her beginning her missionary work. Be strong and work for the Lord. And she began to get really depressed, and one of her friends was visiting. She said, "You know, every time I look at that motto text on the wall, I get so depressed, so discouraged. Because I can't be active now, and I'm weak, and I'm not able to work for the Lord." And what did her friend do? Her friend turned her to Numbers chapter 9 and read the passage that we've read this morning. When the cloud stayed, the people stayed. And reminded her, the Lord has you on your back at this time. Be still and know that He is God. Whether the Lord has us in a waiting period, or a working period, or making great strides as we think on our journey, He's in control. Oh, to submit to Him. He orders our stops as well as our steps. Now, you may be thinking, my, wouldn't it be wonderful if God would give me a little cloud, so that when I look at this cloud every morning, I would know where to go. If I had a little cloud like the Israelites, I would always obey the Lord. I would always follow him. No. Because those children of Israel had the cloud, and at many times they were disobedient and murmured and wanted to go back. They got used to it, became familiar, and it didn't make them obedient. Now, thank God, God in his grace brought them through, and God works even when we're disobedient. God chastens and works. God gives us something far greater than a little cloud. He gives us the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God works through his Scripture, works through the Bible. And God has given you something greater than those Old Testament Israelites. The Spirit of God leads us. Now we have to get to know him and to know when it's the Spirit leading and not just our own notions. And we have to, he leads by the Word of God. He'll never lead us contrary to this book. So this morning, God has given us something greater. He's given us the Word of God. Isn't that tremendous? You follow his Word. I remember, I was thinking of this passage, and I remember a story of one of the leaders of New Tribes Mission when we went into it, a male Waima. He served for many, many years down in South America. I remember him telling us, as a young married man with a young family, he was in Chicago. He got saved and he began to be burdened for missionary work. He read missionary letters. He was interested in what was happening. He got to know missionaries. He used to pray, Lord, I would love to go as a missionary. But he heard of, oh, they're special people. I could never be like that. And he heard some testimonies of these great dramatic leadings of the Lord. And I remember him telling us in a period one day how he would go out. He lived in built-up Chicago, concrete place, jungle they'd call it. And he used to walk around the graveyard at night for peace and quiet. Of course, he wasn't disturbed by the residents, I'm sure, but he walked around and he was sitting on a gravestone. And he began to think, Lord, I would love to go as a missionary, but I don't want to step out of your will. And I feel I'm not able. And he looked up into the sky, moonlit night, some clouds, and he had heard that some man had testified that he looked up and he saw a cloud the shape of Japan. And he believed the Lord was leading him to Japan. So he started to look up at the clouds. I wonder, will the Lord show me a cloud? And then he realized I wouldn't even recognize the outline of any countries. I was never good at geography. But then his hand began to feel the name on the gravestone. Just unconsciously began to do that. He began to think, this person here lived in America where there was access to Bibles, access to radio, access to other Christians. I'm hearing about these tribes in South America who will never be reached unless somebody goes, oh Lord, will you not let me go? And he prayed right there, Lord, we're going to apply. And Lord, if it's not your will, close the door. Do you not think that was God guiding him? Giving him a burden for the unreached? Well, God didn't close the door. And he and I remember his son in missionary work. Listen, follow God's word. One last one. The cloud speaks of the glory of God. The cloud speaks of how the Lord guided them. But this cloud speaks of how the Lord guarded them. Do you know there's a Psalm 105 says that he spread a cloud for a covering by day and a fire to give them light at night. Can you imagine going through the hot Sinai desert during the day with a young family and your belongings? The scorching heat? No, God put the cloud like a great covering. Better than sun cream. He put a great covering over them. Isn't that amazing? It was like a great blanket over the top of them. How miserable it would be if the sun was beating down upon them. And that cloud went before them. And remember, the Lord was in the cloud. What does that mean? He goes before his people. He goes through the enemy before you meet it. Can you see the picture? The cloud went in first, this pillar. So all the enemies, he met them first. But if you turn back to Exodus 14, you'll read one time when the cloud didn't go in front. Now, I'm not contradicting what we've said. But in Exodus 14, we've talked about how the pillar always went in front. and it went in front to guide them, and it went in front to guard them, and smashed the way through, if you like, all the enemies. But there was one occasion when the cloud did not go in front. It went to the back. Why is that? Was the Lord not guiding them and guarding them? Yes, he was. Because they came to the Red Sea. And they didn't need the cloud to guide them now, because the sea was divided like two great walls. And they walked through like a corridor. And we read in this chapter in Exodus 14 that the cloud went behind. Verse 19 of Exodus 14, the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. See that? And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Why? Why? And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other in all the night. Here's what happened. The children of Israel going forward, that cloud which I said represents Christ, the glory of God, it comes to the back. And here's the army of the Egyptians, and they're closing in on Israel. They're just ready to be attacked by this mighty army. And Pharaoh, what a picture of Satan he is, the god of this world. And they're ready to attack, and all of a sudden, what happens? That pillar that we're talking about, it moves to the back. And we read there, it separates. And it's amazing, this cloud. Because the children of Israel passed over the Red Sea at night time. It was dark normally, but it was like a great searchlight. It was such a large searchlight that thousands of Israelites saw clearly, as if it was daytime, to walk on through that corridor through the Red Sea. And there it shone light. But to the Egyptians coming behind, they knew they were in a sort of a corridor, but it was darkness. It was blackness. And then all of a sudden, in this passage, you'll read that as they looked, in verse 24, it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. They're destroyed. They said in the next verse, let us flee. All of a sudden, yes, the cloud to them was blackness, but all of a sudden, something and that cloud changed, and the Lord looked down upon the enemy, and the Red Sea came over them and destroyed the enemy. That's a picture of Christ, the guardian of his people. What's it telling us this morning? There's comfort in Christ. Christ will be with you as a Christian. He'll never leave you. The God of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll lead you the right way. Maybe a difficult way. Sometimes it could be a sad way. But listen, it's the right way for your eternal good and for his glory. Oh, in the meantime, it may seem so hard, but God will lead you through his Son in the right way and bring you safe to the heavenly shore. But all the enemies, Satan and sin, Christ will deal with them. Satan will not rob you of your salvation, because the Lord is not only goes before, but when needed, he'll come behind you. What a terrible fate it is for those who know not Christ. You see, the same pillar was light to the Israelites, darkness to the Egyptians. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great divider. On Calvary, he divided the two thieves. One, we believe, went out to hell, one to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ still divides people today. Thank God he's the light. There are those who have seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But there are others on the other side, as it were, and to them the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And if they go on stumbling along in their darkness, this is a reality. They'll end up in the darkness forever. The place the Lord called the blackness of darkness. One day we'll all see his glory. Believers on the heavenly shore will look into the face of the one who has guarded us and guided us and his presence with us, and we'll see the Lord, the glory of God, in the face of the Savior. One day, just as the Egyptians and Israelites, they both saw the pillar that night, both groups. One day, when the Lord comes, believers will see his glory and rejoice. Unsaved, it says, they will see his glory. But it says he's coming in the brightness of his glory. What for? To destroy those who obey not the gospel, taking vengeance on them that obey not the gospel. What is the pillar to you? What is Christ to you? Do you know him as Savior? Have you bowed to him as your Lord? Thank God if you have. Think of the pillar on the tabernacle. And think of the great truth, Christian. The Lord of glory dwells upon you. He dwells in you. What a privilege. What a privilege today to realize Christ dwells with us. And he'll guide us all the way home. And he'll guard us and bring us home. May God bless us in these studies of the tabernacle.